This is Long Story Short from the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. I'm Ebong Udama. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont's commitment to the state's fiscal guardrails will be tested in his budget proposal.
Everyone seems to want to pull back on that money except Governor Lamont and the minority Republicans in the legislature. And I suspect right now they're still going to try to stand pat.
That's Keith Faniff, the Connecticut Mirror's state finances reporter. He's done a deep dive into whether Governor Ned Lamont can stick to his pledge not to violate the state's fiscal guardrails in his next two-year budget proposal as lawmakers seek more funds for Medicaid and education while federal funds vanish. More to come after this.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Hamilton, executive editor of the Connecticut Mirror. Local journalism has struggled in Connecticut in recent years. It continues to struggle nationally. But CT Mirror is growing thanks to 2,200 donors who embrace our mission of informing Connecticut about public policy and holding government and candidates accountable to their constituents. If you want to be part of a Connecticut journalism success story, please make a gift to CT Mirror today. Just click the red donate button on the top right of any CT Mirror page.
Hello, Keith. Connecticut's landmark bipartisan budget agreement put in place spending caps, now known as fiscal guardrails, that Governor Lamont has honored in all the budgets he's presented in his 6 years in office. So, will this year's budget be any different, considering the Trump administration in Washington is likely to cut back federal spending on states?
Well, there's honoring and there's honoring. And this budget may be the latter, meaning governors have been complying consistently, for example, with, let's take the best known, quote unquote, fiscal guardrail. And that's the spending cap. That's the mechanism that tries to keep state spending growth in line with the growth in household income and inflation. Ever since we've had a spending cap, since 1991, every governor technically has complied with it. But we've seen lots of examples where governors find very creative ways to work around them. So one person's compliance could be another person's abject betrayal. And I think Governor Lamont will find it particularly difficult not to reach for at least one gimmick or two to deal with the spending cap this time around, simply because he's got pressure coming from all areas.
And talking about pressure, Medicaid is a big part of this, and education and social services. Everyone seems to have to feel that the guardrails have constrained state spending and they're behind. And what has helped over the past few years has been the federal money, the ARPA money. That's running out. So something has to give here, right?
I completely agree. Let's take a look at just the first example you gave us, Ebong. Let's take a look at Medicaid. We are already this fiscal year overspending our Medicaid account in the Department of Social Services by about $290 million. And the Lamont administration expects next fiscal year we'll need to plug that hole plus go a lot higher. And there's fears that if President Trump convinces Congress to block grant medication, a state like Connecticut could lose tens, maybe even hundreds of millions of dollars. That alone right there would be a huge, like if we ended up down $500, $600, $700 million, you're talking 3% of the general fund just on one line item.
Wow.
So absolutely, there are all those problems there. But there are other things also creeping out. You know, the spending cap that I mentioned allows about $900 million of growth. If you even gave a 2% inflationary increase to most of state government, that would take up half the growth right there. And then there are growth in fixed costs that are subject to the cap, like Medicaid, like you mentioned, like contributions to the teachers' pension fund and retiree health care. That eats up almost all the rest. And we haven't talked yet about one single initiative. Before we get to do that, I want to remind everyone, every single state employee union is up for raises this year. Their contracts all expire. And By the way, the nursing home workers and the group home workers, they work technically for private entities, but they get most of their money from Medicaid. So again, the state almost sets their raises. All those forces are coming down, and we still haven't really talked about any one new initiative to grow a single program.
But we do have a situation here where we've been putting away quite a bit of money into our rainy day fund. We've been having budget surpluses over the years, and everyone seems to want to draw down on that money. Is that going to happen this year? Because we've been holding on to this money for a while now, right?
Yes, we have. And I would just push back in one small way. Everyone seems to want to pull back on that money except Governor Lamont and the minority Republicans in the legislature. And I suspect right now they're still going to try, at least to open the session, to stand pat. I think as the session goes on, there'll be more pressure. If for some reason, and I don't have a crystal ball, if President Trump and Congress take a huge chunk of money, if we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars of federal money that Connecticut is losing, which we don't know if that will happen, and we also don't know if it does happen, will it happen by early June when the General Assembly is done?
Well, the federal budget starts on the 1st of October, right?
Yes, so we really don't know if we'll get indications. We won't know
before we have to have our budget in place.
Well, it's not outside the realm of possibility that we could be getting indications from Washington in late spring, but your point is valid. We may not know until the summer or fall, and there's no guarantee Congress will have a budget done on time. If for some reason, though, the bad news starts to hit the fan, so to speak, then you could see even the people who don't want Connecticut to slow down its savings efforts. Even the chief defenders of the guardrails may have to say, we have to spend a little more and save a little less simply to backfill what Washington is not giving us under that hypothetical.
Okay. But right now, the way it looks right now, the Republicans are likely to hold the line, and the if now is whether there's some wiggle room for Lamont.
That's the $64,000 question, absolutely.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Keith.
Thank you.
Long Story Short is hosted by me, Ebong Udana, and produced by Molly Ingram. Harriet Jones is our editor. WSHU's Alicia Daddario and the Connecticut Mirror's Gabby DeBenedictis are our digital team. This podcast is a collaboration between the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. We go behind the scenes at the home of public policy journalism in Connecticut. More can be found online at ctmirror.org and wshu.org. Our episodes can be found wherever you get your podcasts.